Hello, and welcome to Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. This is your host, Tony Peters, coming at you. We've got another interview episode coming at you today. We had Lane Sarver on last week, had a great talk with him. We've got another really good interview scheduled today. We didn't really tease it, so this is going to be a surprise for everyone, but we've got Jacob Plyman from Botkins High School on tonight. Jacob's going to talk to us a lot about, you know, being a state champion with Botkins, talking about kind of the upbringing before he got to this year with Botkins. He's going to talk about, obviously, a new culture that's coming with a new coach. He'll talk about some time with the Pumas that he's had this summer, as well as just leading up to this summer. And then ultimately, we'll end with talking a little bit about him personally and just kind of his basketball journey. So I want to thank you for tuning into this episode. Great conversation. We're looking forward to continuing to do these. And so without further ado, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll have Jacob Plyman on for the interview. All right, guys. We now have from Botkins High School, Jacob Plyman. Jacob, thank you for taking the time and welcome to Southwest Ohio Full Court Press.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me out.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to make this work. I know you're a busy guy, which we'll talk about here throughout this interview. So, you know, definitely appreciate you being able to take the time to talk. I know a lot of people definitely want to probably hear from you because you have a little bit of a title that not a lot of us have. You are a state champion.
Yeah, it's a pretty special feeling knowing that I'm one of few.
Yeah, you're on only one of four schools this year to go out with a W. So we'll definitely talk about that because I'm definitely curious about that as well because that is such an incredible feeling. And you were lucky that you got to do it with your brother. So we'll definitely talk about the state run. But before we get into that, I wanted to start off by just talking a little bit about Botkins from the beginning. Because obviously you've been a contributor for the Trojans since your freshman year. So take us back a couple years to your freshman year. Obviously, Botkins was not in the same position a couple years ago that they were this past season. So kind of talk about where the program was freshman year and then just kind of how freshman year went overall.
All right, so my freshman year, obviously, I was coming in freshman, playing as a freshman, and then I was mostly playing because we had brand new Coach Powell. It was his first year on the staff with me. So he, as the first year coach, you could kind of afford to start the freshman. And so I came in, knew my role. I was just a rim protector slash rebounder. That was all I could really do, scoring only about 6 points, something like that, a little less. And so we weren't that dominant of a team. We were awful young. We started a freshman, three sophomores, something like that. Played another one off the bench. So we were super young. We were close a lot of games, some good teams. But just we didn't have that experience to close out games the right way. So that's we ended up about 11-12, something along that line. 12-11, something like that. Lost in the second round. We got a bye, so I lost to Ansonia on a buzzer beater. So that was a tough end for us. But I learned a lot from that. It was a pretty big growth year for me. And then that next summer was probably the biggest summer for me with all the changes I made after that. And then you want me to just move on as it flowed into my sophomore year?
Yeah, because that was actually going to be my next question was you talked about growth, and obviously your sophomore year, things were definitely different. You guys did end up as the number four seed that year, much better in terms of win-loss. Unfortunately, did kind of fall short to Fort Laramie in the tournament. But, yeah, overall, talk a little bit about – you can go ahead and transition into sophomore year.
Yep, and then after my freshman year Coach Powell pulled me aside and talked to me about really just being dedicated and reaching another level that off season with my work ethic. And so after that summer, I went from 6'4", about 180, and then I lost 20 pounds and put on 40 more. So the next, at the start of my sophomore year, I was 6'6", about 200 pounds. So I had totally reworked my body to be able to handle the varsity level. So then we started our next year off, dropped a couple early. Anna was still really good. Jackson Center was really good. Marvin was really good. So it was an extremely competitive year for our league, as it always is. And so we lost a couple close ones, won a couple close ones, and everyone knew that now we were all juniors and sophomores. Carter came on halfway through the year after coming back from an injury, and everyone knew that in a year we were going to be pretty good because we were bringing everyone back on that team except for our senior Elliot Dubow, but he got hurt towards the end of the year and had to sit it all. So we all, it was just some juniors and some sophomores going out there, and we all knew that we're going to come back the next year and probably have a chance to be something special after our heartbreaking loss to Laramie in tournaments again.
Yeah, I remember the Laramie game, and I remember talking to some people, and it's you know, Southwest Ohio is one of those districts where it's an open draw, so you can choose where you go. And a lot of people weren't surprised that Laramie went after you guys because of the youth that you had. Laramie that year had quite a few seniors and juniors. They were very upperclassmen focused. The previous year, they had been in the regional tournament. You know, it was just a matchup that they kind of favored. It was unfortunate because the talent that you guys did have, I mean, it was very, very good. But I do think it was good that happened because, as you said, there was something special with this group, and I think there were glimpses of it that showed your sophomore year. And then obviously it showed into AAU. I just want to point out, you know, obviously with where Botkins is at, we weren't able to see you guys play as much your sophomore year. I remember you were playing with the Pumas in that July in between sophomore and junior year. And I watched you play and I was like, oh my gosh, like this kid is good. And I didn't even truly realize at that time that you had a brother, you had yourself, you had Jaden on your team still, Zane, like the talent you guys had. I just think that people started to finally see, that sophomore year. Then obviously, the guys that played AAU, we continue to see that. So, you know, that was a testament, I think a further testament to your work ethic that you continued to work hard. And we'll talk a little bit about your recruitment a little later. But I know that it sounds like some college coaches maybe started showing some interest in you in between sophomore and junior year with the summer. What are some of the things that you kind of tried to work on in between sophomore and junior year and during the summer with the Pumas?
That summer was obviously a tough summer to get in the gym and work out with because of COVID locked us out. So I made a new friend. His name's Ryan Bruns from Marion. He played at Ohio Northern and was overseas in Spain for a couple years. Mm-hmm. So that was my workout buddy through the quarantine. I just tried to gather as much knowledge from him as I could, him and his brother Nate Bruns. So they're just a great basketball mind. So they helped me out a lot through that summer. So it was just continuing to work in the weight room and get some more skill work and keep up and just keep making strides in my game. And then I never really expected to have an AAU season last year, and then we just threw in a couple tournaments here and there and played well, so that just kept building up some confidence for this season.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more specific about the Pumas a little later on, because I do, you know, I do want to talk a lot about AAU, and I do want to get a little more deeper perspective from you. But let's focus on Botkins again here for a moment. So that takes us into junior year. Start of this year, you guys started off undefeated. You know, ended up, I know you beat Jackson Center. I feel like Anna, you beat the first time. The second loss was later in the year. But you beat Anna during that stretch, beat Fort Laramie, Jackson Center. Really a very tough 9 or 10 game stretch to start the season. You guys did take a loss to Antwerp. That was an undefeated number one ranked team in the state when you played them. Tough game. You guys took them to, I think, was it double overtime?
Double overtime. Me and Denton Holman fouled out at the start of the second overtime. Mm-hmm. So we played that without our two biggest guys. But we fought, and, you know, sometimes you got to lose those. You know, it is what it is. You can't really control that at all.
Absolutely. So, I mean, and obviously you guys also took a loss to Fort Laramie the second time. Seth and I were there calling that game, and it just looked like second half they just kind of hit us. They just hit a second level and just really picked up the pace, and it was just hard to match that. And then obviously Anna knocked you guys off as well. So, you know, let's just focus on the regular season first. You know, what were your overall thoughts? And especially during that first couple games when you guys were beating some of these teams that you were beating, did it start to feel like there was, you know, definitely a very good chance of you and this team being in the situation you would end up being in March, back in November? Were there any thoughts of this or any sort of indication early on that this was going to be the end result?
Yeah, after that beginning run where we were about 4-0, 5-0, something like that. We were talking. We're like, we're 5-0. We've beaten some pretty good teams right now, and we're honestly not playing as good as we possibly can. Like, there's some special things here that we can tap into yet. And so then we just keep playing, kept rolling those out, really had guys buy into their roles and buy into doing the small stuff. And then we've sort of played our best basketball at the end of the year. So that's how you always want to do it. We kept improving, and that's just how you got to do it.
Absolutely. And especially when you got that, when you play small school D4, D3 basketball, you've got, you know, sometimes you've only got 7-8 guys that you're playing with your rotation. You've got to have the depth, and everyone's got to be able to buy in. Because if you got one kid that just isn't there mentally, it shows. And that's something I really appreciated about Botkins basketball this year, was it just seemed like no matter what, everyone was buying into their role. And exactly, this is exactly the result when that happens. You win basketball games, you beat very good teams, and your losses, I mean, again, there's different scenarios that played into why you guys lost, but at the end of the day, you guys were winning for a reason. So no surprise that there was obviously the confidence that was going to happen. We get into the tournament. You guys get a pretty favorable draw to start off, beating, let's see, Brad. Was it Bradford was the first team you guys beat?
Yeah, Bradford, Houston, Laramie.
Yep. Okay. So Bradford and Houston definitely had to be a little bit of simpler games. I do want to ask you about Laramie, because did you have any sort of feeling of deja vu that you guys were in the, you know, a sectional title, a chance to go to districts? Year previously, they knocked you guys off. Did you have any sort of nerves or just concerns preparing for Laramie in that sectional final?
Not as much nerves, but more excitement. Going into the tournament draw, we always know that Laramie, they're not scared to play us, and we're not scared to play them. So going into the tournament draw, we wanted to play them. Mm-hmm. We wanted to get our quote-unquote revenge from what happened to us last year. So we liked our matchups, and so we thought we'll play Laramie, and it's going to be a good game. It'll be tight. We'll fight, and we thought we'd come out with a win, which we did.
Absolutely, and it was a pretty convincing win too. Definitely took care of business in that game. It was nice because you guys had kind of split that regular season meeting, so this was really to determine all the marbles. And honestly, Laramie was probably the better matchup, I think, because the only other option would have been probably Jackson Center. And with you guys have beating them twice regular season, that third test was going to be tough. And Scott Elkert is tough to beat in the postseason. That is one thing that I'm sure you can relate, playing him twice a year in the Shelby County League. That Jackson Center team's a different team in the postseason. So I'm sure there was a lot of relief that it was Laramie instead of Jackson Center.
Yeah, I think Jackson Center was the 2 seed and we were the 1. So they just went to the opposite side of the Pickwick bracket. But just what you said about playing Scott Elkert, he knows more about you than you know about yourself somehow.
I'm telling you,
works out.
I'm telling you, they know how to scout. He's one of the best in terms of prep, game prep, week prep. You know, you got to love what he does and what he's done at Jackson mm-hmm. Center. But obviously, Scott Elkert's not who we're talking about today. We're talking about you, Jacob. So that takes us into that district final where you guys were tasked with playing Fayetteville Perry. What did you guys know about them going into that district final when you were prepping for them?
Not a lot. We had about 5-ish days after playing Laramie. So we had spent forever talking about Laramie, because when you're from Botkins and you hear the name Laramie, you just, there's always just something right there that you always want to fight for. So for us, we had a quick turnaround. We had a day where we just rested and watched a little bit of film, because I think Fayetteville Perry played that next day, maybe. And then so our coaches were at that game. So the next day we got in the gym, went through our stuff, talked a little bit about them. And we felt like we watched them in the film. We noticed that the Bradshaw kid can play. He's quick. He's got nice size for a guard. And they had a couple kids who can come off the bench and shoot it. But nothing we couldn't handle. And we went in, we played hard and took care of business.
Yeah, one could say you guys definitely, you know, set the tone and set the tempo. I believe you were up by – I was not at that game, unfortunately. Seth was. But if I remember correctly, you guys were up by, I think, 20 points at one point, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think at the end of the first quarter, it was something like 20-4.
Yeah, and credit to you guys. Again, that's what happens when you get a team that plays such a tough schedule in the regular season. Not that Fayetteville didn't play anybody. You know, they went up, they came up here and played Legacy Christian, I know. They played a lot of the better D4 Cincy programs, but, you know, there's just a different style of play when you get into Northwest Dayton, and I think that's what ultimately helped you guys against them. And, yeah, I can definitely agree with you about Jaden Bradshaw, obviously coaching him at AAU. He's a special kid, and, you know, we're lucky we have him on our team, but I can only imagine preparing for him with that type of athleticism up till that point. I mean, Laramie's got some good kids, but I think Jaden definitely was one of the more athletic players compared to some of the Laramie kids. Did it give you guys any sort of a different look when you get a kid that's got that type of athleticism and can do a lot in terms of he can beat you off the bounce, he can hit the shot in the mid-range or three-point? Did it change how you guys were kind of preparing defensively for him?
A little bit. We have a senior guard, Zane Paul, who started his career thinking he was going to be the offensive star for 4 years, but settled into a role as one of our lead defensive perimeter guys. And then we have a lot of really great one-on-one defenders. So we didn't have to game plan a lot because we trust our guys to stop the man in front of them. And our guys can play a little bit more aggressive out on the perimeter because I can just roam around and hunt block shots like I do. And I feel like we did that pretty well, so we contained him, I thought.
Yeah, you were definitely one of the best in Division IV this year when it came to block shots. I can't tell you, I think every game I watched in person or on film of you guys this year, you had at least one ball you were either pinning off the backboard or you were putting in the first row. So it definitely helps your perimeter defenders when they know big Jacob Plyman's behind them going to protect that rim.
Yeah, I think I averaged somewhere around like 2.5 to 3-ish. At some point, had over 40 at halfway through the year. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, definitely one of the better shot blockers in Dayton for sure. So that obviously got us through the sectional district. Let's talk a little bit about regionals. You guys got you got Newark Catholic out of the central district, which ended up, they were a little bit of a surprise to some people that they got there. But I remember watching you guys play them, and man, could they shoot the basketball.
Yeah, they had a kid who could just play. He came in the night before, scored 37 points, and arguably the best shooter we'd seen all year. He came in, just absolutely torched us in that first half, and he was doing everything he could to win that game. And so we just told ourselves at halftime, we were up 15, something like that, and we just told ourselves that he can't do that all game. He will tire out at some point, and then that's when we'll blow it open. Obviously, we got a lift from Jameson in that first half, pulled us out of there real big with us, 6 threes, like something like that, and he busted their zone pretty quick. But they could play. Definitely a good matchup for us.
Yeah, it seemed like every time Cantor hit a three, Jameson had an answer, and I think that really helped you guys. It definitely helped keep the confidence in the game, I'm sure, knowing that Cantor wasn't just throwing shots up and you guys were struggling to execute. almost like you were just trading buckets. But
yeah,
but as you said, second half, you guys definitely turned on the gas and put that game away and showed you were very worthy of continuing your run in that regional tournament. And you were tasked with playing Cedarville in that regional final. And before we talk about the Cedarville game, I have to ask, was there any sort of surprise to you that Cedarville had knocked off Tri-Village? Were you guys prepared for Tri-Village, or did you know there was a chance you could get Cedarville? Because I'd argue that a lot of people that maybe covered the area would have expected you guys to be playing Tri-Village to go to state.
We hadn't looked past them. I had kind of wanted the Tri-Village matchup a little bit because I was looking forward to playing the names at Tri-Village and all the hype they had with being 28-0 or something at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up being Cedarville. We didn't overlook North Catholic because we knew they were there for a reason. And Cedarville, they were a great team. They definitely deserved to be there with Ramey and Koning. Two great players. They earned their way there. They came back big against Jackson, came back against Tri-Village. And at the end of the day, they moved on.
Yeah, that's something that when we talked to Lane last week, we kind of talked about, you know, that Cedarville team. You had Ramey, you had Koning, but man, they had a lot of. They started four seniors on that team. They had gotten knocked out the year prior. They were hungry. It showed in that Tri-Village game, they were hungry. And when they played you guys, it was a battle. Unlike the Newark Catholic game, that was a matchup where you guys couldn't really get a giant lead because it seemed like what you guys did with Newark Catholic happened with Cedarville. Every time you scored, Trent Koning would come down and counter, or Isaiah Ramey would come down and counter. Talk about that game. I mean, that had to be, you know, just a bloodbath, but ultimately you guys got out. You know, what were kind of your thoughts in that game, knowing if you win it, you're going to UD for the state tournament?
We got to the game. It starts out about just about every game at that level. First 2 minutes, everyone's settling in, just still feeling out the game. Nerves are still setting in. But then after those 2 minutes, the game starts rolling again. I came out and struggled. Jayden, he came in, did his thing. He was really controlling the pace for us. We had a lot of people step up, make big contributions. We played our game plan. We only wanted to score about 40 points because we saw Cedarville wants to put up 60 plus. And that was our goal, to hold them around 40. We thought if we only had 40 points on the board, we felt like we would win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ended up working out for us. It was a close game. They were fouling us. We were up three, and we fouled Carter on a free throw. Foul Carter to go shoot free throws. Carter goes to the line with 5 seconds left, makes both, ices the game for us, and we're cutting down nets 2 minutes later. It's one of the best feelings ever.
Yeah, I don't have the stat in front of me. When was the last time Botkins had won a regional title before this year? Do you remember? Do you know?
In basketball or in any sport?
Basketball.
Basketball was 1994 was the last state berth.
Okay, so it had been a while. It'd been quite a while. I'm sure the community, I mean, you guys had a good, we still had COVID restrictions going on, but there was still, you know, you had a nice cheering section. That's something I really appreciate about Botkins this year. You may not have had the numbers that would have been in a regular season, but man, the crowd that was there, did they make it seem like it was packed over there at Butler? What was it like winning in front of all that, the fans as well?
We have the best community that that one would probably ever see during a basketball game. It's just the small town feel. Everybody's there behind one cause. To buy our state tournament tickets, people had to wake up at like 8 o'clock in the morning to pick up their tickets at the school. And the line started at 3 o'clock in the morning for people to go buy tickets.
Jeez.
They were that anxious to get them. So, just people, our whole community just cared so much for people were everywhere. And I can still barely walk into the town bar and order food without getting interrogated. That's now we got a whole memorial on the wall. There's a t-shirt that runs autographs, pictures everywhere. It's crazy.
That's what you love about the small towns, man. Those small towns, they will support you. That's something I'm sure Lane would agree with as well. That's what we talked about in our interview last week. The small town communities, they really come together for you guys. And you can definitely tell when you're in a game, and those, especially that deep in the postseason, you can tell that it helps a lot when you've got, you know, and I know your parents were there throughout the tournament run. You know, knowing you've got family, friends, and a community behind you, it's got to definitely be. It makes it easier, and it definitely makes it a lot more fun and that much more special, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So obviously that was the first time since 94 you guys made it to state, and your first, let's start with Richmond Heights first, because I mean, really Richmond, when you look at the two teams you beat, Richmond Heights and Columbus Grove, it's two different styles of play. You know, Richmond Heights comes in, you got Josiah Harris, who committed to West Virginia after the tournament, but you had him, they actually had two of their best players, two of their better players didn't even play, and Amarian Dickerson and Jamar Talbert. But they had a lot of athleticism, a lot of length. When did you guys know that Dickerson and Talbert weren't going to play? And number two, what was really the game plan preparing for them, knowing this whole team had size and athleticism and a lot of talent?
We first heard about those two guys not playing about a week before right after we played Sevierville. So pretty quickly, we had heard rumblings throughout the year that maybe they weren't going to be 100%. Maybe they missed something. But we were like, whatever. When we get there, we get there. We'll deal with it then. And that's just when we found out for sure. The game plan coming in, obviously, we knew Josiah Harris was a stud. He was by far the best player we had seen all year. Just his combination of speed, size, and athleticism he had was just different than what we'd seen. As far as their team, they were very explosive. They wanted to get up and press and just go on massive runs against you. They like to put up 80-some points a game. We thought, if this gets up into the 50, 60, 70-point range, we're probably not winning this game. So we wanted to score about 40 again. We thought if it was the less points scored, the more likely we were to win. We scouted hard. It was every study hall, every free period we had, every second we had, we were in our computers, teacher's room. We were watching film on the smart board all period. No teacher was doing class that week, so they were letting us go just to go watch film. Just so we were all locked in, ready to go when we got there.
Yeah. So you kind of touched on it with Josiah. I was going to ask you what your thoughts were on him as a player, but you kind of touched on it a little bit. That Richmond Heights team, that was the first time I had known about them obviously all year. I had actually at the beginning of the postseason, I had said I thought Richmond Heights would be the one that would end up winning state. Just because when you got a team in D4 with that type of size and athleticism and that one kind of central piece like Harris, in my mind, I didn't see how that was going to happen. Well, obviously, you guys proved myself and proved a lot of people wrong. There's a lot of people that I think were surprised that you guys had won, just because when you've got the big names that Richmond Heights has, I mean, it's very easy to just say, well, they've got it. But, you know, you guys took care of business. You played a fantastic game. And it set up a state final with Columbus Grove. And again, it's a little bit of a different style of play. Columbus Grove isn't going to press as much, but they had some talent themselves. You know, Blake Reynolds had a heck of a game against Glenwood 2 days prior. Tate Bernesser was hitting threes like no other in that game. I'm curious to know first, I mean, what was the game plan preparing for them when you go from – when you got that differing of styles of play, what kind of changed in prep?
It was a short turnaround, obviously. Well, when we beat Richmond Heights, we stayed in a hotel down at Dayton. We watched Columbus Grove play. So we knew a little bit about them. We knew that Blake Reynolds is obviously a great player, one of a kind. The I heard that he leads Grove in every major stat category possible. Tate Burnesser is also a 1,000-point scorer. So then they had their point guard, Gabe Clement, had a great game.
Yep.
So they obviously had some pieces. They deserved to be there. But we felt like we had good matchups for them. We liked Zane Paul guarding Burnesser. We liked Denton Holman and Dylan Topp and Carter guarding Reynolds. We felt like we had enough bodies to throw at him to make him earn everything he got. And so we just wanted to play our game. We didn't think that – we thought the more points we scored wouldn't hurt us, but if it ended up being a 40-point game, we were comfortable with that. And just when we got there, Jaden took off like a rocket. It was the most – he was as locked in as I'd ever seen him before. Usually he's a jokester laughing all the time, but he wasn't laughing all morning. He was – locked in from the moment we stepped into the gym, and it was all business for him. You can tell that something different was going to go on with him today.
Okay, we are back with our interview with Jacob Plyman. What we were talking about right there before the break, obviously, was, you know, the Trojans had a matchup with Columbus Grove, and after beating Richmond Heights in that state semifinal game, getting a team like Columbus Grove. Obviously they had a lot of seniors, as Jacob was saying. They had three key ones in Blake Reynolds, Tate Burnesser, and Gabe Clement. But again, Botkins took care of business. Jaden again had a fantastic game. That first half, I remember you guys got out big on them, and it was, again, it was just kind of a surprising, because you, that Columbus Grove team, because they were so senior heavy, they just looked asleep, and you could tell that you guys were ready to play from the tip, and it was all business, like you said. How did you guys keep your foot on the gas, or what did Coach Powell, what was his message to you guys, especially at halftime, when you get out to that big of a lead and you have to sustain that for another 16 minutes against a senior-heavy team like Grove?
At halftime, I think we were up 6, and at one point we were up 16-0. Columbus Grove has made several comeback wins. They played from behind a lot in the tournament. They came back against New Bremen, I think. So just that's – they're not horrible coming back. They make the play, they make the right plays, and they showed that in the second quarter, and we knew that they were going to hang around and make it a game. So we just had to continue to work. We knew Reynolds was playing well, but we felt like he was earning everything he got. We were contesting open threes. Burnesser had only made one at halftime. So we were just – there wasn't many crazy adjustments we had to make. We just had to – they face-guarded Jaden, which took us out of our rhythm at the beginning, and we had to find someone else to step up on the offensive end. And people answered the calls when their numbers were chosen.
Yeah, I remember you had some really good moments there. With Blake Reynolds guarding you. I know Carter had some big moments. He hit some big shots down the stretch for you guys. Definitely, like you said, everyone stepped up when they needed to, and that's what you got to do. In a state final like that, you got to be able to do what you got to do when the time comes, and that's something you guys had done the entire tournament, and it ultimately paid off with you guys obviously beating Columbus Grove to win a state title. I mean, we've talked about feelings a lot this episode, but I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, when the OHSAA representative is handing you guys a state championship trophy, what was going through your mind? And to that further point, especially to do it with your brother on the team as well, standing by you, man, what was going through your mind during that?
You know, I've been asked that question 100 times, and I still have no answer for it. It is just a feeling that I can't describe. It was like something I never experienced before. It was just the combinations of all me and my friends' goals growing up, shooting in the driveway, just coming together all at once with our crowd yelling at us. Everyone was just crying. It was just an amazing feeling. It was something I'll never forget. That it was one of the greatest moments of my life.
Yeah, and I think for me, I remember after when y'all were cutting down the nets, I remember at one point you jumped off the court and you went over into the stands, and I remember you had a moment with your dad and your mom. How did they kind of support you during this entire season, and how did their support ultimately help you keep focused and keep the mindset you needed to take care of business like you guys did this year?
Our parents have did an amazing job with us. My dad knows the feeling of being at state. He was a part of the team in the 90s for Fort Laramie that won state. He was on the reserves back then. So he knew about that moment and how much that can mean to you and your community. So he just always reminded me to stay focused on what's right in front of you. Don't look ahead of teams. And so that was just what he taught me. My mom, she does a great job getting me prepared for games. She loves cooking pregame meals for us. She loves doing that stuff. She just does everything I can ask of her, and my dad does everything I can ask of him.
Well, I have to say, I do have to give your dad a shout out, because there's not a lot of people in what the people I deal with being a scout, there's not a lot of people that are as easy to work with and clearly have the players in school as the primary focus as your dad. He does a fantastic job really helping get Botkins and getting not just you and Carter, but everyone on that team, the exposure. I don't think there's very many people in the Dayton area that I can confidently say have that same enthusiasm and just love for the program and the kids. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for you and your family and your dad especially. So, you know, I loved seeing that, because talking to him throughout the tournament, you could tell he, as a parent and as a fan, his excitement of seeing, you know, you and Carter being a part of that team. So, you know, it was a really great moment being in the stands and seeing you have that moment with your parents. So that's something that a lot of people are never going to be able to say. And you're only a junior and you got to experience that. So, you know, I'm just so glad for you guys that you were able to get it done. And, you know, it was a great, after everything that happened this year with COVID and especially how last year ended, it was great to see you guys start off what was a fantastic weekend of basketball at UD Arena by bringing a state title home to the local area.
Thank you. It was amazing. It was absolutely awesome.
Absolutely. Well, obviously we could reminisce on this past season, I'm sure, for hours, but I do want to move on into the next segment here, which is obviously, you know, looking ahead. So obviously the biggest news, I think, for Botkins was obviously the news that Coach Powell was going to take the position at Lima Bath. You guys already have a new coach in Phil Groves. He was the girls' varsity coach. I want to start first with, you know, what was your feelings when you found out Coach Powell was not going to be coming back?
I was shocked. I had heard rumors. Everyone's like, oh, I've heard he's going to Bath. I was like, I would doubt it. I doubt he's doing that. I wouldn't be surprised. I would be extremely surprised if he did. And then one day he just called me in his office and he goes, I'm not coming back. And at the moment it kind of hurt. I came in as a freshman the same year you came in, and now you're leaving right before my senior year. So that just stung for a couple of days. And then when the pain went away, I was able to look at it through a new eye, understand why he did it for his family. And you can't ever fault someone for doing what they thought was best for their family at the end of the day. So we still have a good relationship. He still calls me fairly often. Every once in a while, I go up to Bath and work out. It's just our relationship is bigger than basketball.
Absolutely. And that's obviously what any player would hope with their coach is, you know, one day the basketball is going to stop bouncing regardless with your high school days, but it's that relationship you are able to form with that coach that ultimately is what's going to stick with you. So, you know, it's obviously unfortunate that, you know, after 3 years, he's no longer the coach at Botkins, but I'm glad to hear that the relationship obviously is just as strong. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if Bath is supposed to play Bodkins this year, but I have a feeling if you guys are playing Bath, you may not hear from him for a few days there. As he's going to have to try to figure out how to stop the two Plymans as well as Jamison Meyer. So
they used to be on the schedule, but unfortunately they were taken off this year.
Oh, darn. That would have been
that was a disappointing one.
Yeah.
I really play him. I'm sure he really wanted to play us because we were going to have him at home this year. But so it is what it is, you know. So we have a free game on the schedule now.
Absolutely. Well, obviously, you guys did bring in, obviously, like I said, Coach Groves is who his successor was. Have you got a chance to talk to Coach Groves? And what can you tell us about him? Because a lot of people maybe don't know as much about him. He was the girls' varsity coach at Bodkins before he took over the boys. But what can you tell us about him? And can you expect the same style of play with Coach Groves as you had with Coach Powell?
I'm extremely excited to work with Coach Groves. I had a lot of conversations with him throughout the year, since he's our chemistry teacher at Bodkins.
So okay.
My desk is right in front of him, so we talk often. He did a great job with the girls. They were extremely successful this year. I think they had 18 wins, maybe something like that, 18 something.
Mm-hmm.
But he did a great job as far as style of play. I wouldn't expect a ton of differences. We might not play as fast, seeing as we're more big oriented, and we don't have our as dominant of a scoring guard as we did Jaden. But we're still new into the old creating the team process, and we'll make sure we're playing our best basketball at the end of the year.
Hey, that's the most important time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
For sure. Well, obviously, Coach Groves is taking over a program that, you know, you're bringing four of your top seven back from last year. You kind of prefaced it. You're losing Zane, who was a four-year starter. You're losing Jaden, who, I mean, I would argue Jaden was the best player in the state of Ohio in March, the way he played. And it's obviously it's hard to replace any varsity talent. It's hard to replace. But you guys are kind of fortunate in that when you look at the Shelby County League as a whole, Jackson Center loses Reichert. They've got a lot of juniors coming back from last year. And again, Coach Elkert always finds a way to be successful. You know they're never going to be an easy out. Laramie graduates a lot of seniors. They bring back Caleb Maurer, who has been fantastic. When he's not injured, that kid can ball. And he's going to be the focal point the next 2 years for the Redskins. Anna loses, I think, about three or four starters, but they lost four starters a year ago, and then they had a 20-win season this year. They're never going to be counted out. Where do you see your guys in that mix? And then obviously, and then actually before you answer, I mean, you got Rushi as well, who's a very young team and had some success. Really, the Shelby County League, there's really not an easy win, and there's not really an easy way to say who's going to finish first, second, and third because it is such a tight league. But just your expectations, what are your thoughts for next year? Where do you see your guys in the mix for the Shelby County League title?
Our goals are we want to be on the top end of it again. We feel like we have the guys to be able to compete every night and win some close games. We'll have a lot of seniors. Carter will be a junior. Hopefully we can have a couple sophomores put in a good summer and potentially fight for a couple spots. But our goal for the year is to be able to compete at the high end of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's going to take us into – actually, I'm sorry. Before we do that, sorry, I missed a point here. So that's Shelby County League. Keeping on the focus of next year, you know – Richmond Heights is, I would say Richmond Heights is probably going to be one of the favorites to be one of the best teams in D4 when you bring back Josiah Harris. Even though they graduate Talbert and Dickerson, they're bringing back quite a few guys from that team that was in the state semis that you guys defeated. But more importantly, and I think more of the elephant in the room, at least in terms of Dayton, you got Tri-Village who brings back everybody from a team that lost in the the regional semifinals a year ago. Do you feel any sort of pressure? You know, you guys are the defending state champions, so you've got that target on your back. But do you have any feel any sort of pressure that you guys have to kind of keep up with them since they are going to be bringing back everyone from a very good team a year ago?
We feel no pressure. We don't feel like we need to focus on other teams outside of ourselves. And honestly, since we had to drop Bath and you have an open game on our schedule, I'm begging our athletic director to schedule them. I want to at least scrimmage them. I want to play them. We don't want to run from anyone. Mm-hmm. We're not one to run. So we don't feel like we have any pressure with them. And at the end of the day, if they're ranked higher than us, rankings only matter to the people who don't deserve them.
That's a great way to put that. I really like that comment, to be honest with you. That's a great perspective of it. And you know, that's a really good point there, to be honest with you, Jacob. And I like hearing that. I love hearing that. Obviously, a lot of people are going to think Tri-Village is going to be the best team, but people forget that you're the defending state champions, and it's not like you're losing a lot of talent. As I said, four of your top seven are coming back next year. So if anything, I think people are probably going to be, you know, people should be expecting Botkins to be one of the best teams as well as Tri-Village. So I hope we can see that matchup. That's a matchup I'd love to see. Two differing styles of play at time, but you know, I'd love to see that matchup, especially you and Lane. That would be such a great game. I'm sure there's definitely got to be some sort of trash talking at times with you guys being on the same team with the Pumas.
A little bit, it comes up. I'm constantly wearing the state gear at the Puma tournament, so you can't see me without it. I'm sure I'm bringing the ring to a practice here and there, but he's a good guy. We talk every once in a while, but it's not, at the end of the day, it's just basketball, and your relationships have to be beyond that.
Exactly. The ball's going to stop bouncing eventually for everybody, and some people will take a career in basketball and take the next step in their basketball careers, but at the end of the day, it's about the relationships that you form. So I love that perspective from you, Jacob. I want to talk, before we get into AAU, there's something else I want to talk about. And some of our viewers, you've probably heard this story before, but in case you haven't, Jacob, one of my favorite stories to talk about you was the Team Flight World Tryout. We interviewed Chris Wright and Matt Barnes back last year, and they told us a story that we weren't aware of at the time. In preparation for that tryout, you actually went and watched film on your potential matchups you were going to have at that event. So specifically, if I remember correctly, it was Adam Duvall was who you were watching film on, because that's who you were going to have to compete with for a spot on that team.
It wasn't just Adam. It was everyone. I saw the list and looked at every single one of them. It was me, my dad, a couple of my buddies were like, I was like, I really want to make this team. So we're looking at who's on there. Today on the internet, you can find out just about anything you want to. So it was everyone there. I would watch some of their highlight videos. I'd scroll through some of their Twitter feed. I can see all that stuff. So it's just, I really wanted it. And being the guy from an hour and a half away, I really didn't know any of them. Mm-hmm. So I had to find that out pretty quick so that I could be able to compete.
Well, it paid off because, one, you ended up making that team, and two, being at that event, you did play extremely well, especially in not just in the drill sessions of the tryout, but in the 5-on-5. I remember you had a dunk I believe it was in the drills you had the dunk that got everyone kind of woken up. You know, I know everyone's head turned when they saw that because there wasn't a lot of dunks that day. You were one of the few that had it, but man, I'm just curious about with that process. Is that something you always have done in terms of going and watching film on to that extent? And then to that as well, what do you look for? I mean, what are you specifically, are you looking for when you're watching film of someone or anyone that you're either going to go against or just you're trying to learn more about?
I watched a lot of film during the year, but it was really just then because it was a tryout and I just wanted to know, and I knew there was a lot on the line there. And it's just something I wanted to do. I kind of had some free time on my hands that time of the year. Wasn't much going on. And I was just watching it, see what they like to do, what they can do. Just basic stuff like that, because on everyone's highlight videos, all you see is what they can do good. So that's about it. It's just looking at what they do well out there and just thinking of ways I can attack it.
No, that's great, because, I mean, I'd be willing to bet dollars to donuts there's not a single kid in that tryout besides you that did the same thing. To do that for a tryout says a lot about a person's character and just their work ethic, in my opinion. So that's just a story I wanted people to know, because that says a lot about how hard this guy works to be as the best he can and to put himself in a position to succeed. And again, it paid off because you were selected to be part of Team Flight World. Unfortunately, it's unknown how that's going to work due to COVID. But obviously, to make that team, you know, what was going through your head, obviously, when you got the call from Chris Wright that you were going to be part of that team?
I was pretty shocked. I usually at those events, when you're pulling kids from that hometown Dayton area, sometimes as the kid coming from so far away, you can kind of get politicked out of it. And I really appreciate Chris for selecting me to do that. It was just a great moment for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's transition here into right now in the spring. You are playing AAU for the Mid-Ohio Pumas with their Adidas Gold team. How's the season gone for you so far? And I believe you've been with the Pumas since I've known you playing AAU. What do you like about them, or what kind of is about their program that really makes you want to continue to play for them?
Last year was actually my first year for the Pumas.
Okay.
So I came in, had a good summer with them last year. Playing pretty well for them right now. It's going well. But one of the reasons I like them is because they are in it for the kids. They're in it for you. They're not in it to make money for themselves like some of the other programs are. The owner, Dave Mergon, does a great job. He's a great guy. I talk to him all the time. They feel like they care about you and their team more than they care about making money like that. So it's just a great feeling. They have a lot of great connections too with coaches and stuff like that. And it was just a great fit for me. And Carter's on their team too. Carter plays for their Silver Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great program. I love to be a part of it.
Yeah, and I can tell you from a scout's perspective, one of the things I love about the Pumas is they really work on the fundamentals. When you watch a Pumas team play, 9 times out of 10, they're going to play gritty defense. They're going to make the extra pass. You're not going to see a lot of selfish play. You're going to see guys playing with one another. That's something I've always respected about the program, because it really does prepare you for the collegiate level. Mm-hmm. And when you can have the connections with the college coaches, and then you can put in the work to prepare them further from the college coaches, it definitely makes that program a lot more appetizing. And with the Pumas as well, you're playing on the Adidas Gold circuit. Obviously, they haven't played yet. Adidas just released where those events are going to be in July for the live period. You have, obviously, last year, if I remember correctly, Adidas didn't have the circuit last year because of COVID, correct? You guys just played in independent events?
The Pumas didn't have the gold sponsorship last year, but I don't think there was an Adidas circuit.
I don't think anyone had a circuit last year, then I'm saying it out loud. So
I don't think so either. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. And obviously you guys haven't started playing on the circuit play yet. You've played in some big events. I talked to Lane last week about Run and Slam. What are some of the matchups you guys have seen so far? Who are some of the different teams you've played against, who are some of the players and matchups you've had so far that have really been, you know, fun matchups for you, or been, you know, wow, this kid's good.
The one matchup you're probably hitting at is the base fundamental matchup we had at Run and Slam.
I was leaning towards that one, I'll be honest.
Everyone asked about that one. It was a great experience. Playing against them, they have all the hype, all the names, stuff like that. I think their point guard, one of our guys, had an offer from Iowa, something like that, maybe. That's what I just heard, probably a rumor or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we played them. We were thinking Imani was going to play because he just decommitted 2 hours before the game. I was thinking every college coach in America is going to watch this. So I was just excited to get him because I'm not running from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then so we get in the game. We're up 3 or 4 at halftime. And then that Bates fundamental squad just hit another gear for a couple minutes in that second half and pulled away. And then down the stretch, we knocked down free throws and lose by 8 or 9, something like that.
Yeah, I did not get a chance to watch that game. I had every intention of doing it, and I ultimately didn't get a chance to. But I can tell you that you are correct that every person in this world that follows high school basketball probably had their eyes glued to that game on Baller TV, thinking Imani Bates was going to be playing in that game. So I matched your kind of disappointment in that, because obviously I would have loved to see that matchup. But, you know, like you said, Bates Fundamentals is a very good program. They got a lot of great Division I talent. And whether Imani Bates plays or not, there's no doubt they're very deserving of being on Nike's EYBL.
Mm-hmm.
So at Run and Slam, obviously you play a lot of different teams, and the atmosphere definitely was different. Being that you played last year when COVID was at its prime to now where we're just now starting to get some normalcy, talk about some of the, besides the crowds and besides the social distancing, have you noticed any sort of differences in just, you know, preparation or the game in general now than what happened a year ago at this time?
The biggest difference isn't even with the game, because now you can have, like, their scouts on the sidelines, so that's something new to me.
Mm-hmm.
You never know who's watching you, so you always got to keep that in the back of your mind. But the biggest difference for me is now that, like, there's places to go get food. I can get my pregame meals in, and just I always like traveling and finding new places to eat, so that's a big thing for me. I'm glad to have that back.
I love that. I'm the same boat. When my Dayton Elite team was in Louisville 2 weeks ago, I was trying to find anything local in Louisville that you just aren't going to find in Dayton. Because, like, I'm just, you know, if basketball can take you places, and if you can go visit different cities, why would you not want to try something different and try something you're not going to get in Botkins or in Dayton, wherever you live at in the state? So I can agree with you. I'm definitely glad that we're able to get out, and especially the food, and being able to sit with your teammates, your coaches, whoever it may be, family. It's definitely different. I'm glad we're moving in the direction we are to have this back, not just for all that, but then for the kids as well. You guys are able to, obviously, like you said, the dead period for D1 is up on June 1st. July is going to be crazy. You're going to have everybody's going to be out in July watching and recruiting. It's going to be a lot of fun to have some normalcy for sure.
Definitely. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to take one more break here, and we come back. We're going to finish up the interview with Jacob Plyman, just a few last questions for him. So stick around. We will be right back. All right, welcome back to Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. This is Tony again. I have Jacob Plyman here on the phone with me. We've talked about his season with Bodkins. We've talked about, obviously, the big news, him winning a state title at Bodkins this past year. We talked about AAU with the Pumas. We're going to wrap this interview up with the last couple questions for you, Jacob. Little bit of here and there, different stuff, just for people to kind of get to know you a little bit more and just get a better understanding of what makes you as a basketball player. So first thing, I ask every person this in any interview I do, who has been the biggest influence that has made you the basketball player you are today?
The biggest influence for me, I've had some great coaches. Powell's been great for me. Terry Finkenbein really started the love for me back in elementary, but the one guy who's been most influential with me is definitely my dad. He's in the gym with me as often as I can. Sometimes when I don't want to go in, he encourages me to go in because those are the days that you have to.
Mm-hmm.
He's always there for me. He does a great job. He's on the gun, throwing me passes and rebounding for me. He's got a great basketball mind that I can pick at when I need to. And then he's not an emotional guy. He's not an emotional, like, doesn't view things emotionally very much. So after, like, big losses and stuff, I can come to him and I'll get, like, an honest answer, not something balled up in some emotions. And so I owe almost all of what I have to him.
Absolutely. And again, kind of like what I mentioned at the beginning of the interview when we talked about your dad after you won a state title, you know, you can definitely tell that he cares a lot. And I want to keep on the family theme for a minute because, again, you have an opportunity that you are able to play on your high school team with your younger brother, Carter. What type of bond do you guys have, not even just taking away from just winning a state title in basketball, just being able to play with one another on a daily basis? What type of bond do you guys have, and how has basketball just further helped build your guys' relationship as you've grown up together?
We have a bond probably similar to any two teenage brothers have. He gets on my nerves, I get on his nerves, and sometimes we argue, but at the end of the day, he sits across from me at the dinner table and we're brothers. So basketball always helps our relationship out. We have a tally on a whiteboard in the garage of who wins the one-on-one games during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Those games we always play win by 2 to 15. And the final score of those is 47-45. So those games take forever. They usually end because mom is screaming at us that supper's cold.
Mm.
So he's one of my best friends. And I couldn't imagine playing on that stage with anyone besides him.
Absolutely. It's something that a lot of people don't have the opportunity to do. So the fact that you're able to do that is incredible. And I have to ask, who's currently in the lead on that whiteboard?
I think I'm either up one or tied. We haven't played in a long time. He's busy with Trent right now.
Oh, Jacob, you gotta fix those numbers, man.
I know. I'm trying to convince him to wipe the board and restart, but he's hanging on to it.
Yeah, that'll be. I'll tell you what. If you ever decide you wanna get some coverage from the Plyman household for one on one, you just call Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. We'll be happy to come cover that event for you.
It's an event. Sometimes even the youngest one, Colton, will walk out there and he'll play. But it's always just a good time out there for a little while at least.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, gotta love that sibling rivalry.
It's the best.
For sure. I can relate. So let's talk for a minute now about, obviously, obviously you are considered to be one of the better players in the Dayton area. In terms of college recruitment, where are you at in terms of, do you have any offers right now? If you don't have offers, or even if you do, what schools have shown interest in you up until this point? And then obviously with AAU as well, just kind of where's your recruitment taking you and where are you at currently?
Right now, I don't have any offers on the table. Mm-hmm. I have interest from Wright State, Malone, Fairmont State in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So it's just some D2s, and Wright State's the only current D1 that I've expressed a ton of interest with. Mm-hmm. But from what I've heard, talking to my coaches and my AU people around me, that July is going to be a big month. July will be an explosion of my recruitment in that department. So just looking forward to there and stuff like that.
Yeah, you and anybody, any seniors that are listening to this podcast right now, our 2022s that are listening to this podcast, if you need any sort of motivation to work on your game, knowing what July is going to bring with that life period should be enough to get you in the gym working, because that you hit the nail on the head that it's going to be a big month for not just for you, but for everyone. So I highly recommend anyone listening to this podcast trying to work on their game. I would get in the gym and really prepare yourself, because lives will change in July if you are seen by the right people at the right time.
Definitely.
So the last thing I got to ask you, Jacob, you know, obviously we weren't able to get you in our March event, the Miami Valley All Conference Challenge, due to AAU. We do want to do something in the fall. I just got to know, what do I got to do to get Jacob Plyman there in the fall, playing in our next event?
Oh, come on, man. You can't put me on the spot like that.
If it makes you feel any better, I did that to Lane too. So it's not just you.
I know. I listen to the podcast. Well, I have keys to Bakken's for you if you want to hold it at that facility. That'll work out pretty well for me. That's about all I'm going to ask for you from.
How about a dunk contest? If I do some sort of dunk contest, will that get you in the door?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't have a ton of flash. I don't know. I mean, I can come up. Something. I can come up with something.
All right. You've got my number. Just let me know what needs to happen. And you know, I can't guarantee 100% that, you know, again, if we do a dunk contest, I could guarantee I could skew the field. I won't put Malcolm Curry. I won't put,
yeah, you know, don't give me Nate Johnson and Malcolm Curry.
I could promise you that. You know, you just let me know what we got to do. Cause, you know, obviously we want to get the best talent in the gym when we can. And obviously, you know, you're definitely one of the best players in this area. Definitely one of the best players in Shelby County and in terms of the league as a whole. And I just want to thank you for taking the time to talk on the podcast with me today. I know you obviously with AAU, I'm just being a high school student, you know, you got a lot going on. And so anytime anyone and even you are able to take some time to talk basketball, you know, I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me out. It was a great time. I love doing this stuff with you. So thanks for having me out.
Absolutely. So guys, again, that was Jacob Plyman from Botkins High School. He's going to be a senior to be. He's playing for the Mid Ohio Pumas this July and June, or not June because of summer league, but July. College coaches are listening. Definitely keep an eye on this young man. Great basketball player. And as he said already, getting a lot of interest and definitely puts in the work to back it up. So that'll wrap up this episode. I want to thank everyone again for tuning in to this episode. We're going to continue to bring interviews as often as we can. We've got interviews scheduled later this week as well for some more players in the Dayton area. So definitely I'm looking forward to continuing to do this. And again, appreciate having conversations so far with Lane and Jacob. So with that in mind, again, this is Tony Peters with Southwest Ohio Full Court Press signing off, and we'll talk to you next time.